Starscream here, and I am the lord and master of the Geekcast Radio Network. Don't tell Megatron.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello all, it is I, TFG1 and Mike, here inside the pull bag, only on the Geekcast Radio Network, and from episode 553 to 561, this is the Skybound section. That's right, all of these episodes that you're going to be hearing, including this clip, in front of every single one of them, is stuff from another comic review with Jesse Early and myself. We've already published all these over on that show for him, and now we are syndicating them here for the pullbag. These are completely unaltered, unedited episodes. So there you go. Make your greatest game into comics and enjoy the show.
But he's still only human.
This is another comic review, episode 23, recorded June 30th, 2024. Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike of GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. This episode, we are discussing Void Rivals number 10, but before we get to that, we have some news that just broke this past week. The ongoing G.I. Joe series, not a real American hero, but the ongoing G.I. Joe series set within the Energon universe was announced. It will have the same creative team as Duke, so Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, Jordy Belair, with a release date of November 13th, 2024.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You can eat your turkey and read the first issue.
That's right.
I guess what are your overall thoughts on this, right? Obviously, we speculated on this. We got the announcement before Comic-Con, which I was surprised by.
I'm glad. Because I didn't want it to get lost. The problem with San, and I say this as someone who has covered San Diego Comic-Con in the past on podcasts and things. The problem with San Diego Comic-Con that has been the last 15 years or long, just 15, 20 years, there's so much and you can miss things. So there's so many things, depending on what your interests are, depending on what your fandoms are, there's so much going on at once out there in California for that convention. So I'm glad that this was finally confirmed, announced, blah, 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 before the convention. So that way we know going in, okay, cool. So now who's going to be at the convention doing prints and this and that and whatever covers and whatever else? This is good. I like this. This is going to be fun.
So we were treated here with the cover art.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm loving it, man. I think this, again, when you launch a number one comic for anything, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's a number one, you have to pull in the readers, the fans, not just us, not just us as light fans or new fans, or even the super fans, same thing with Transformers. You have to pull somebody in. And the fact that this first cover, this is just the first cover we've seen, I guarantee you the number one issue is going to have at least five, maybe six different covers, because number ones normally have at least that many, if not more. With this, because it's a wraparound, it is very, very cool. You don't actually, you see the G.I. Joe lettering, you see the Skybound logo with the number one, whatever, you see Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, Jordy Belair at the top there. The rest of it's all art. The rest of it's Duke, Cobra Commander, Major Bloods, Tomax and Zaymot, and the Bat Troopers, and the new ninja Red Lady and Baroness and everybody else. This is cool. This is awesome, because wraparound covers are just really cool. I think that's a good way to do a comic book, because normally comics, they'll usually obviously have the front cover, but the back cover is usually an advertisement, or for single issues specifically, not for trade paperbacks. That's completely different. But for single, normally like the back is like a paid advertisement or whatever. And I love that they're doing something like this instead of that. And again, it's a new number one. It's to continue on with the Energon universe. It's to basically do what we've been seeing them build in these miniseries. They're building G.I. Joe. They're building Cobra. And the only way you can continue that versus story is to have G.I. Joe in the Energon universe, and now we have it.
Yeah, what's interesting in this cover, which I assume has no bearing on anything that you're going to see in the first issue here, is they're all standing on different robots, right? So there's Decepticons in this rubble, there's Autobots in this rubble. I want to know who like the giant hand is, because I don't believe that belongs to Hound, who I think is in the top, like on the front cover there.
Yeah.
Because that's like a very large hand.
Yeah, no, that's not Hound's hand.
Like Cobra Commander's like standing on what looks like Soundwave.
And I was going to say that is definitely Soundwave.
over on the right, on that, because that'll be on the back cover. Over on the right, which is the front cover, right, we can see the Autobot symbol. That's probably on Prime based on the color.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I think we see Hound there. And then, yeah, some large robot hand over on the left-hand side. So, yeah. Ongoing G.I. Joe coming, so another comic to add to our ongoing reviews here.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm glad to get away from the miniseries, right? The character-focused miniseries. I'd rather jump into a full-on series that involves all of the characters.
I understand, and I sort of agree with you to a point about the miniseries, but the thing with the Energon universe, the fact that everything is going to be connected and the fact that Skybound is starting this whole new thing, I liked the miniseries because even though some of it wasn't so great, but it was introducing, we haven't even finished that yet. That's just on its first issue. But it's introducing us, who I'm pretty much a G.I. Joe layman. I know some stuff, but not much. And it's also introducing the diehard fans to what's going to happen in this universe with these characters and the character point of views. I agree with you to the point of, okay, let's not do that anymore unless it's something special. Let's do this ongoing. But they needed to build it up to get to that point. I didn't just want to see Void Rivals, Transformers, and G.I. Joe, because I like that slow burn story of building up each team member and getting to know each team member, even though I really don't want to get to know Destro. I'm so dreading issue 2 of Destro. But we're not here to talk about that. Well,
we're not here to talk about that. No, we're here to talk about Void Rivals number 10 by Kirkman, DeFelice, Del Pesce, and Wooten.
Quick synopsis. Go, Russ.
Quick synopsis from ImageComics.com. Secrets of the Sacred Ring revealed. Void Rivals finally puts the Energon in their corner of the Energon universe. My quick rundown. We open on Zirtonia, where the Agorian and Zirtonian leaders are discussing Derek and Salila. We cut to Springer continuing to fight Proximus while Derek tends to Salila and is trying to figure out the key he found on her person. Salila comes to and knocks the key from Derek's hand and chokes him and yells at him not to touch that before fainting again. Having enough of the fight with Proximus, Springer pulls out his sword and smashes it through Proximus on the ground, severing an arm and a leg. Look pretty painful. Springer transforms and tells Derek, who is carrying Salila, to hop in as they head for Springer's lab deep below the garage. Once inside, Derek removes his helmet and Salila's, only for Springer to recognize the jewels on their foreheads as Energon ports. Springer attempts to heal Salila with Energon using the port in her head. When she comes to, she becomes hostile and demands answers, for which Springer attempts to explain that the Agorians and Zirtonians appear to have synthetic elements that are Cybertronian in design, despite being organic themselves. Springer goes on to explain that the Sacred Ring appears to be an engine that generates Energon, and that millions of years ago, a Transformer known as Zerta Trion set out to forge a new path for her kind. We close with Zirtonian forces showing up outside of Springer's garage, ready to take out Derek and Salila, setting us up for an all-out battle next issue. Thoughts and review of number 10.
I didn't realize that flesh creatures could have Energon ports, but it makes sense to tie it into the Zirtonians and the Agorians and the this and the that and the Sacred Ring. And I think this is the most we've ever seen Springer in his car mode. We've never seen him in car mode this long, and I kind of like it. I kind of dig it.
The only time I ever remember seeing Springer in car mode is, I think it's the season 3 outro. the cartoon, where it's like, I believe he transforms into car mode, and he's like tearing out or like backing up or something, mm-hmm. and then like ultimately transforms again out of that mode. I don't think we see him throughout the series in the car mode.
Not many times. No, I think the only time we directly actually see him in it is when he tries to do it in the movie, and then he transforms and pulls his sword and starts fight. It's the Junkion fight. When he's fighting the Junkions, and because I remember in the movie he does that, but like, no, that's my point. It's like, it's nice to see, even in comic form, doesn't matter. Every screen cap I've got for the last two issues since Springer has shown up is him in alternate mode, whether he's parked or whether he's flying down the planet surface or whatever the hell. And that shot of him with the sword, oh wow, whew, just goes to show you how much larger Cybertronians are to other flesh things. They're robots, and like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, he skewered him there. So.
Yeah. Shish kebab. Yeah.
I've had enough of this.
Yep. It's like Crocodile Dundee, throw another shrimp on the Barbie. But no, I'm loving this. I think this is really fun.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think when I read this the day that it was released, I popped in our chat. We have an ongoing, for those that are listening, we have an ongoing chat, the two of us. And I think we've got a chat going with Ryan as well.
Yep.
And I think I posted in there that this has been, in my opinion, it was the best Void Rivals issue to date. I was very happy to read it. I've read it a couple of times, and I love where the story is headed, or potentially where the story is heading. I like that they're weaving in the relation to Cybertron, and the, you know, Energon in general, and just very curious to see where that ultimately ends up. I want to know more about this Zeta Trion, which is apparently a female transformer. Yep. And when Springer was kind of talking about that character, and again, we don't know what this character looks like. Kind of got some ideas as to who the character is based on earlier Void Rivals issues. Mm-hmm. But when he was talking about this, he did mention that there's only two of his kind that had that designation of Trion. So I also imagine, right, the other one is Alpha Trion.
Yep.
So is that character going to show up? Don't know, but I'm curious.
No, and yeah, it's very cool and it's very fun. And yeah, I mean, Void Rivals to the point of issue 9, 1 to 9, it's a mystery. It's introducing even us, because, hello, this is a whole brand new series, brand new creation, whatever. It's introducing the audience to these new characters. And then it's upping the stakes every issue. Issue 4, issue 5, issue 6, 7, 8, 9. And now we get to 10, to the point where it's not just, oh, hey, there's a Transformer, like, floating in space with, I almost said Skylynx, but I was going to say Jetfire. And I love Springer's kind of like, you know, Jetfire? I'm like, they did.
Yep.
But no, like, I got to the end and I was like, oh, damn, that's the end of that. Like, I don't want to wait another month. This is why for the last, I don't know how many years over on the Pullbag, I don't do single issues because I hate waiting. I'm impatient as hell. Because again, they leave this off like, oh crap, what are we going to do now? You know, like, I want to know what you're going to do now. I don't want to wait 30 days or 31 days, whatever the hell long it is between.
It's too many.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's too many.
Yep.
I think the only thing I think this issue was lacking was more Handroid.
Yeah, I think. Oh God, I think Springer doesn't know what the hell to do with Handroid. In the beginning, he's like, "Mr. Handroid thing," or and look, Springer's a fairly, you know, intelligent robot, whatever else, and everything else, and all that. But like, he's meeting these characters for the first time, and the fact that this dude has a talking hand, it's like, talk to the hand. You know, like, really, like, he doesn't know what the hell to do. But no, it's super fun. And again, the colors in this, oh, it's so good. Del Pesce on the colors. Oh, man. From the beginning of this, where, and again, you have something really cool with this. On the front cover, you have Celila in her pink Energon glowiness with Derek and Springer looking on, the very beginning with the whole Energon universe and all the credits, where it's pink Void Rival thing, and then you get into greens and blues and oranges and yellows with that scene, and then you get to Springer and you get all the backgrounds of the planet and the foregrounds of his colors and their colors, and it's done so well. And the story, like, there's so many character moments in here. Like, I mean, like Springer doesn't know what the hell to do with a talking hand, you know, like, that's funny, that's cool, that's awesome, that's great. And then you have Derek and him trying to do all this stuff, and you figure out you got, you know, Energon plugs in your Energon outlets in your foreheads. Okay, well, that's a whole mystery we need to now explore. And you have Celila kind of basically unconscious, and like this, what I can only describe as when the animated characters from Soul die, they all turn blue. Like, you've got this, her in this blue stuff, and she's unconscious and trying to figure this out. It's just really fun and interesting. And I want to say it now, Void Rivals, for me, if I was making a top, because I like doing, like, if the year is 24, I will do top 20. If I was doing top 24 comics of 2024 so far, Void Rivals is easily in the top 10 of that list, because this is super cool.
I mean, I guess I would argue... I was trying to argue against that, but I can't, because this is all I'm reading. So.
you can't argue against it. But again, I've read a bunch of other comics so far this year, and they're all, you know, I enjoy reading them. They're all good and they're all great, whatever else. But like, if I went to my local comic shop during New Comic Book Wednesday, and I picked up 10 issues, one from each title from whatever, whether it's Skybound, Image, whatever, easily right now Void Rivals, because it's brand new to me and brand new to all of us, it's easily going to make the top 10. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, what number it'll be, but it'll easily be the top 10 out of 24 for me.
Yeah, I think even if you're, I think we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, mm-hmm. As it related to Void Rivals, like, even if you're not into anything else within the Energon universe, mm-hmm. I think this is really good science fiction.
Yeah, and it's connective tissue. This issue proves it. It's connective tissue, because issue 10 here has Springer saying, oh, you were part of the Cybertronian stuff. You were this, you were that. You have Energon plugs in your heads and this, that, and the other thing. And it's really good. Like, I don't know if I should say this. I'm probably going to get canceled if I say it. But I haven't seen science fiction done this well since Star Trek The Next Generation.
So I'm here on page, or location, sorry, location whatever. 15 of 33. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's where you see Celila in her bluey glowiness there.
Yep.
Where it's like, at this moment in time, she's like unconscious or whatever.
Yep.
Right. And then she's speaking to the Zerda character, which obviously mm-hmm. is going to end up being Zerda Tryon, mm-hmm. Who is like their god, right?
Yeah.
So this Zerda character goes on to say, Zertonians, Agorians, all of you are sleeping. First, you will awaken, meaning Celila. Then you will awaken the rest. The time of unity draws near. All will be revealed to you in time if you allow yourself to see it. That is a name. And then she goes, Zerda? She goes, yeah, that is a name I answer to, yes. Mm-hmm. So in knowing that the two factions here have different ports on their heads,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that they're Cybertronian somewhat in nature,
mm-hmm.
do you think there's any relationship between Autobots and Decepticons there?
Well,
do you think they're pretenders?
Wow. That's not really that much of a deep cut, but that kind of, like, wow, the first cut is the deepest. Yeah, I don't think that's what they're going to do, because I don't think that the Zertonians and the Anagorians, I don't think that they're going to become the, I was going to use a blow pop reference, but I can't. I can't bring myself to say that. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to get, maybe, who knows? I could be wrong, but I don't think, because you want these characters to be on their own. Like, yes, they can interact with the Transformers. They can do whatever, but you don't want them to become pretenders for the Transformers or the other way around, whatever.
I'm just wondering if they're like analogs to, well, not necessarily, right, Autobots, Decepticons, mm-hmm. but more of like analogs to them, right? Because the one faction is like a warring faction. Mm-hmm. We saw the other group, right, there's a resistance there.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering if those are just parallels, if they're analogs to the Autobots and Decepticons, now that we're learning more about this. I'm wondering, like, if the Zetatrion has, like, created these beings kind of in the, you know, in the same vein as what the Autobots and Decepticons were on Cybertron.
So what you're saying is one of them is the military hardware and the other one is the consumer goods. Great. Nice. Season
well, I mean, three. So I guess the difference here, though, is, right, the leadership from each side, they're technically working together.
Yeah, that's the big difference is that the leadership from both sides. And again, from what I remember, what we've covered so far, I'd have to go back and listen to some of the other episodes. But like the Sacred Ring, it's two factions that should be one people,
right,
to work together, and that's I think the whole point. And yeah, I can very much see. Derek and Salila being either military hardware or consumer goods. You take your pick which one is which, but hey man, you know, I like the Generation 1 explanation of the beginning of Cybertron and the Autobots and Decepticons. A lot of people don't like it, but I do.
I like it. Makes sense to me. All right, anything else here for issue 10?
I don't think so. Like I said, edge of my seat. Let's go for issue 11.
Yeah, the final page here, they're definitely gearing up for All Out War. So,
oh yeah,
that leads us to preview for number 11 and 12.
Yep, and I have that right here. So we're going out to several different sources. I have the Image Comics stuff, but I think we mentioned this off air. The Image Comics website for Void Rivals and some of the other books that are listed for the comic company, it's just a landing page. It gives you the covers and the description. So I've got for issue 11, we are going to majorspoilers.com, and it gives preview pages for
issue. Is that a website? If it's not, it should be.
Yeah. I thought I sent you the...
Majorspoilers.com is an actual site? Yeah, you didn't send me this one. Okay, well, I don't want to look at this then.
Yeah, you might want to look at that then, huh?
No, I said I don't want to look at this.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, these are the preview links.
All right.
But yeah, so we see, I think what's cool about this is we see, it's basically a 4-page preview, and I didn't really look for this for the preview. That's really not what I'm here mainly for alternate covers or the main cover and the description. That's really what I'm here for. And basically the description is probably the same as what's on Skybound's thing, which I'll just say. War in the Wastelands, Ertonian forces have caught up to Derek and Salila, but thankfully they have a little Cybertronian help, Springer, to the rescue, which we talked about in the last episode of the podcast or whatever else. But the reason why I went to this one website, the Major Spoilers website for issue 11, is because if I was the person buying this at a comic book store that I wanted a physical copy of this, these covers, I would want that very first one where Springer is in his helicopter mode. It's the one with the yellow Void Rivals text for the thing, and it's got people firing at him and whatever else. That is super cool. I absolutely love that.
The one that's right after that one, mm-hmm. Where it's got Derek and Salila kind of crouching down,
yep.
kind of hiding behind stuff.
Yep.
I don't know who it is that draws that style, but it, mm-hmm. right, that sort of style, however you want to define that style, I think they develop or design a cover for every issue, kind of in that vein. I love that style of artwork. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, that looks really, really good. I like the one where Springer's in his car mode, but it's like the first two are very sleek and very modern-ish. The third one here is kind of like, hey, here's Springer in Five Faces of Darkness part whatever. Like it's a nice little homage to the cartoon.
Yeah, I was going to say that's more cartoon,
yeah,
cartoon-esque.
And then a really cool one with Derek and Salila back-to-back in the different colors, that, like their faces and stuff. That that is really cool for a character thing for them. And then the final one is just Springer being energized or de-energized and they're in front of him. That one's cool too, but I like some of the others better. The helicopter one, the one where they're crouching, the Two Faces one. Those are my three favorites out of the
ones. Yeah, yeah. Now you didn't read the preview yet, right?
Not really, no.
So that says, it says, war in the wastelands. Zertonian forces have caught up to Derek and Celila, but thankfully they have a little Cybertronian help. Springer to the rescue.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that Springer is going to be featured a lot in that issue.
Oh, yeah. And he's probably going to be featured a lot in the rest of the arc because it's just the way that the stuff goes. And
in all honesty, before we move on to 12 there, I would be perfectly happy and okay if he never moved over to the Transformers comic. It just stayed here in Void Rivals. Now we know Hot Rod is out there looking for somebody, right? We presume it's potentially Springer. It may not be because he mentioned who he was looking for by name. But I'd be, like I said, I'm perfectly happy with him just staying with those two.
So we've got issue 12 here from the Image Comics website because the other one just has the covers. After what they've endured in the wasteland, are Derek and Celila now destined to walk separate paths? Where Celila goes now, Derek cannot follow, or can he? What will Springer's final fate be? And what are the Quintessons planning now? Dun, dun, dun.
So these I don't like that fate part because I'm hoping Nate will kill him off.
Well, that's funny because one of the covers is...
Springer. Don't tell me this.
Come on, there you go.
No,
he did. He did.
Maybe he's just down and out. Maybe.
I think as we come to a close of this arc, which is what I'm assuming issue 12 will be, unless they do something silly and have issue 13 be the end of the arc. I'm very interested to see what the Quintessons do because we haven't seen the Quintessons specifically in a couple of issues. So I'm very curious to see what they're going to do because they're crazy.
Yeah. And then we got to, at some point we got to get back to the Skuxoid too.
Yep. Got to make sure his wife's okay and his kids are okay and everything else. Damn Skuxoids. Ugh, God.
So one thing I did want to call out, going back to, I guess this probably plays into 11 and 12 and maybe beyond that. Mm-hmm. So I'm on, again, location 13 of 33 here. So page 13, presumably.
Yep.
Right. We're inside of Springer's lab. He's got a whole cachet of Energon cubes just hanging out there.
Yes, he does.
And obviously he knows, right? He said that the Sacred Ring is essentially an Energon generator.
Yep.
Autobots, Decepticons, they're still looking for energy. Mm-hmm. So at some point, all of this is going to come into play here. But I'm just wondering, like, if Hot Rod is going to stumble upon this, Autobots will, gain this Energon cache here. I just want to know when Hot Rod's going to meet up with the Autobots on Earth, I guess.
At this point, so do I. Because they teased him in the Free Comic Day issue, and I'm just like, bring the boy in now. Just let's do it already. Like, after all, he is the better leader anyway.
So do you think he's going to show up in Void Rivals? Because, again, that's where he was introduced inside the Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, I'm betting that's – like, I think that – so Springer said he was searching for somebody, right? That's what –
Hot Rod said that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Hot Rod said that. So maybe Hot Rod is searching for Springer. So I don't know. All I know is I'm here for whatever they're going to do in this comic. Like, I'm already invested into the two main characters of Derek and Celila. I'm kind of sort of invested into Proximus just because I think he looks cool.
He did.
Okay, well, he did now. But I'm saying I was invested in that character because he looked cool, kind of thing. But I don't know.
He might come back Monty Python style, though, and just say it's just a flesh wound, so who knows?
Pray I do not taunt you a second time. French taunter. Jeez.
All right. Anything else in closing here?
Like I said earlier, this really is a top 10 comic for me. This whole series so far is just really, really good. And it's fresh. I don't personally think, and I'll say this in other shows coming up and whatever else, but the overall entertainment landscape, not just Hollywood, but the overall entertainment landscape, we've had the same tropes, the same plot points, the same this, the same. Yes, people changed up. Yes, they do it differently, but sometimes things are fairly freaking predictable. And with this, because they're crafting a whole new story, you can still have some of the predictability of plot elements and things, but every issue of this, I have walked away ready for more and just enjoying reading this book. And if comics can do that, that's all you need.
You just need it quicker, more than once a month.
Well, that's 90 years of tradition. And again, if you were going to, quote unquote, avoid all spoilers and just wait for the trade, it's only 6 months. It's okay. I've waited for trades for years. It's fine. Yeah,
that's too long to wait.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. Until next time, this is Jesse and Mike signing off.
See ya. Thank you for listening to The Pullbag here on the Geekcast Radio Network, which is featuring syndicated versions of another comic review. Catch you next time. Make your greatest game into comics.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Until the next Autobot leader appeared, a gentle robot known as Orion Pax, who was fated to become Optimus Prime. And so began the Third Cybertronian War, which rages to this day.
And the Quintessons are our creators.
Through all these centuries, they have waited for the proper moment to strike, to reclaim the planet that we Transformers took from them.
And now they're going for the gusto, right?
Do not forget what you've learned of our past, Rodimus. From its lessons, the future is forged.
Are you crazy? Why'd you short-circuit yourself? Wake up, you moron!
It was the only way into the Matrix.
I was wrong. He is as dumb as he looks.
Springer!